Welcome to Two Peds in a Pod, the podcast designed for parents on the go.
I'm Dr. Julie Cardos.
And I'm Dr. Naylene Lai.
We're two board-certified pediatricians and parents like you.
Don't have the time or energy to read pediatric advice?
If you're in the carpool line, trying to grab some exercise, or cleaning the house,
plug us in.
Today's topic is sleep in very young babies.
So we're talking about the baby babies, the firstborn baby to about 6 months old.
So there are things about sleep at this age which is very different from every other age group. The first thing is that sleep is very tied in with what the baby's main task is in life is, which is to grow. And so let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay. Basically, for the first 3 months, especially in the beginning, these babies are sleeping literally 20 hours.
But if not the 20 hours that you might like. So, you know, a baby can sleep an hour or 3 hours or 30 minutes, and any of those little time blocks can seem like 8 hours to a baby.
No baby sleeps through the night, or should they, in the first 3 months, because they need to feed and grow.
Right. And so that one of the most common misconceptions I get is parents will say, well, my six-week-old isn't sleeping at all. Like, they're not sleeping through the night yet, and my neighbor's babies are. And what I tell them is it's actually, you know, reasonable to expect that yet, but it's also not what you would want.
Yeah, this is all linked into feeding. What I find is a good sleeper starts out a good sleeper, and a bad sleeper later on, not now, but later on, can be trained to be a good sleeper, but then they become bad sleepers again and you have to retrain them. But we're not talking about that. Right initially, the kids that can take in a large volume, all babies eat about the same amount of food during a given day, but kids break that up.
Right. So some infants who will... whether they're breastfeeding or bottle feeding, you know, a meal to a newborn can be anywhere from a half an ounce to 2.5 ounces. And, you know, that does increase over the first 3 to 6 months of life. But there are some babies who will never drink more than 4 ounces at a time their entire first year of life.
So they become grazers. And a grazer, if you're drinking 3 ounces at a clip versus a kid that can chug 6 ounces at a clip, you're going to need to wake up and eat that a little bit more often. Mm-hmm. I have a story of a kid who at about 4 months old went into daycare, and that child was purely breastfeeding and absolutely refused to take a bottle. And that baby did absolutely fine. They just didn't eat when they were at school. And they ate when they got home, because really for the baby, it didn't really matter what 20 hours or 10 hours they were actually eating. They just came home and ate every couple hours through the night, and they were very well fed.
Yeah. So we think about, what sort of like the goal of a psychological goal of an infant too, you know, they need to learn the first 6 months, really the whole psychological goal of a baby is to learn that their needs will be met, that the world is basically a friendly place. This is not the age where we would advise letting a baby cry it out for any reason. I'm not talking about you can't put the baby down and run and get yourself a drink of water or run to the bathroom, the baby won't break from crying for a couple minutes. But this is not the age where you're trying to prove a point or teach your baby to go longer between feeds yet, because they're just not meant to go longer between feeds. If they eat every 2 hour babies, and those every 2 hour babies for the first 3 months can eat every 2 hours. Between 3 and 4 months, their rate of growing slows down. So then their rate of feeding can space out and they can sleep longer.
And keep in mind, babies do growth spurt. So what may be a nice routine will suddenly pick up. Happens when you're really young, about every 3 weeks or so.
Yeah. You won't get frustrated. Like if you feel like, oh my gosh, all they want to do is eat. Well, you're right for that day or so. And then it gets better the day after that. But you have to have patience with it.
So let's backtrack to that initial newborn period, right when you're first born.
So, you know, you come home from the hospital with your baby, and again, on average, a baby needs to eat about every 2 to 3 hours, and that's day and night.
So, initially, it's, you know, you're told, if you're nursing, to try to get your milk to come in, and the only way to do that is by stimulation, yeah. All right? So if there is a baby that's crying, don't put the pacifier in. Don't put something else in. Try to put the breast in so that they actually stimulate the breast.
Right. And it's not how long you're breastfeeding in one session. It's how many times you're breastfeeding. So you only have to nurse if your baby's quick and it does, you know, takes milk from both breasts in 10 or 15 minutes. That's fine. Don't worry if you're not nursing for an hour at a time. In fact, that's less desirable because that gives you less time to eat, to sleep.
Right. So it's better to think in terms of 8 to 12 times a day, getting them on the breast. Now, what's very important and what parents always forget is sleep is very important for mommy.
Yes.
So when you first get home, the only people who are allowed in your house are ones who will do your dishes.
Or clean. Or cook for you.
But kick everybody else, because this is not the time to entertain. It's the time to get to know each other as a family. So kick everybody out, and as soon as you're done nursing, go sleep.
Yeah, I mean, even if I have parents who say, but I've never been able to nap, I'll never be able to sleep during the day. Trust me, given the opportunity and a bed, you will sleep in the day. But we really do mean it when we say sleep when the baby sleeps, because you have to. You have to. You need to be functioning well enough to take care of the baby when you're awake.
Now, of course, this is for a firstborn. You know, a secondborn, a thirdborn, things change a little bit.
Right. But there's no getting around the fact that a newborn will need those frequent feedings. And the only way you can, you know, it's so normal for them to even reverse day and night that the only thing you can do is make the nighttime feedings a little less stimulating, a little less exciting, make the daytime feeding more interesting. And again, if you can kind of teach your baby to eat more in the day, in the sense of, I wouldn't allow the baby to sleep more than 3 hours in a row in the light. And at night, if you get a four-hour stretch or so in the beginning, you can take that. But I wouldn't. You can sort of train your baby to eat a little more frequently in the day.
So we're talking, if you're nursing, we're talking after your milk supply has been established. Mm-hmm. And what we're talking about is what we call adjustment. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't let them cry out, but babies are part of a family, and families have rhythms of the day and activities to do, and while the baby is always the number one priority, you can adjust them. Like, yeah. Dr. Cardo said, one other time period you can adjust them is around 10 at night. If it's been at least 2 hours since you've last fed the baby, go ahead. You could see if they're hungry, because if they're hungry at 10 o'clock, maybe, just maybe, you can get a four-hour stretch and you get woken up at 10, 2, and 6. Yeah. It is very different to get woken up at that 4 in the morning. 3 and 4 in the morning is terrible time to be woken up. Right. So if you can adjust them so they happen to sleep then that's
that
will be helpful. You'll feel better. Everyone will feel better.
Right. Now, one thing that we didn't mention that is extremely important in baby sleep is position of sleep. Mm. Always have the baby sleeping on their back. That's called supine sleeping. They should always be sleeping on their back. That's not to say you can't ever put them on their stomach. Awake, stomach is fine. But to sleep, always put the baby on their back. And why is that?
Because the only thing we've really found to decrease the risk of SIDS is supine sleeping. The sideways sleeping, kind of an in-between risk. You know what? Let's get it down to basically no risk. And kids just don't seem to be able to get out of a bad position.
Yeah, and again, that SID, that sudden infant death syndrome, we don't know what causes it, but we do know that sleeping on your back decreases your risk. And so, although sometimes it's tempting, because the grandparents, well-meaning, will say, you slept on your stomach, and you slept so much longer, so much earlier, but you know what? Maybe that's just not what babies are programmed to supposed to do. It's safer to sleep on your back. You don't need to spend money on fancy wedges or all these other sleep positioner items that claim that they are safety. None of them are specifically endorsed by the American Academy of Pediatrics. All we know is that sleeping on your back is the safest way to sleep, and the baby can't roll over yet when they're first born.
Yeah, let's talk about the sleep environment in general. Yes. You know, you have all this stuff, like Dr. Carter was saying, that you can buy. It's more simple to think firm mattress. Basically, you don't want a little air pocket around their face to be rebreathed by the baby.
So, so I would you'd like the regular crib design for infants or bassinets. Mm-hmm. No toys, no blankets, no pillows in with the child.
Okay, no soft things. There are a lot of baby bags now, which work out very well.
Oh, like pajama, those pajamas mm-hmm. that they kind of wear in the bag or whatever. Right, right, so you don't have to worry about a blanket. And then if you have borrowed a crib from someone else, or you don't know how old your crib is, but it's a secondhand crib, just make sure a soda can can't fit between the rails of the crib, because if it can, that means the baby's head can get trapped in the rails.
Yeah, and we're actually discouraging anything you can get the baby's head trapped in. So those cute little bumpers, no cute little bumpers anymore, right. Along the side of the bed. Make sure you can't wedge anything in between your mattress and your more than a finger breadth between your mattress and the actual crib itself.
Right.
So basically, you're looking for things that might trap the baby. Mm-hmm. Co-sleeping, unfortunately, adults love fluffy, squishy pillows and blankets, and so
just not safe for babies.
Yeah, just not safe. So into the crib. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't have the baby right next to you. You definitely, especially in those first few days, it's kind of tough to get up in the middle of the night. So a nice bassinet right next to them where you can touch the baby.
Yeah, that's fine. And yet, no guilt if you're one of those people that, if you're going to grab any sleep, if you can't do it with the baby right next to you because you hear all those sounds, then put the baby across, on the other side of your room, and that's okay. You could even put the baby in their own room, even, when you first come home, you're going to hear the baby crying. And you can put a baby monitor in there if you're worried about sleeping through them crying. But trying to take the baby into bed with you and fall asleep that way, that seems to be not as safe.
Yeah, so middle of the night, that's not a great idea. Now, if you're walking around in the day and the baby falls asleep in your arms and you're walking around with them, okay.
Okay.
That's nice. That's wonderful. That's absolutely wonderful. There's a lot to be said about human touch. But, when everybody's asleep... Mm-hmm. Baby's asleep, mommy's asleep, and the safest place for the baby to be is
in their own
crib, flat on their back.
Exactly. And then looking ahead just a little bit, between months 3 to 6, again, still too young to let the baby cry it out to prove a point. Some babies are still meant to wake up in the middle of the night at this age, despite what your neighbors or friends or relatives may tell you. But you can certainly start encouraging more sleep at night. And by this, if you get into usually babies between 3 to 6 months can space out their feedings a little bit. Therefore, they can be expected to sleep a little longer at a clip. And they become a little more predictable. So you kind of want to build on that. So I always advise my parents to start with a sleep routine at that age. So the first 3 months is kind of survival mode. Next 3 months, I would definitely encourage a little bedtime routine. Like every night before that, you do the last feeding, you wash hands or face, or you give a bath, you do pajamas, whatever. And then you put the baby down. And I would try to encourage the baby to fall asleep while they're still awake, put them down in the crib to fall asleep on their own, because you want that baby eventually to learn, I'm so tired, I want my crib. Not, I'm so tired, I need to be rocked and fed and fall asleep while I'm eating.
Absolutely. So. All right, so our sticky points for today.
Number one.
Supine sleeping.
Sleeping on your back.
Sleep on your back, sleep on your back, sleep on your back. You're not going to throw up and aspirate that down and choke on your throw up.
Yeah, I hear that fear a lot, but it just doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen. You are not going to have a seizure because you're lying on your back.
Yeah. Of course, there are certain medical conditions. If your doctor has said, there's very rare conditions where, but for almost every baby should be sleeping on their back. And then frequent awakenings are very normal, especially in the first 3 months. So you have to expect that.
And under 6 months old is just too young to let kids cry it out.
They won't learn it, and you'll just frustrate everybody.
Yeah, let me conclude with this. I often tell parents when they're a little tired and they can't really think straight, I say, you know what? You know those cartoons you always see with the parents and the crying baby? Well, there is a little bit of truth to that. On the other hand, it's still a wonderful time.
And it's short. It seems long while you're in it, but it doesn't last very long.
And as long as you keep in mind that your sleep is also as important too, then you'll be fine. Because all those other things just will become less important, like doing the laundry and...
Right. Don't worry about how neat your house looks the first 6 months of a baby.
Or the first 6 years.
Yeah.
Or maybe
the... Or maybe until they go away to college. I don't know. What do you think? All right. Well, thanks for listening.
Again, I'm Dr. Naylene Lai.
And I'm Dr. Julie Cardos.
We are two peas in a pod.
Right now, our recording studio is our kitchen table, and we depend on you to tell your friends about us.
Our office.
Please check out our website at www.twopeesinapod.com, and that's TWOPESINAPOD.
We hope to use podcasts to help answer your questions and make you more confident parents. Thanks for listening.